Isaiah 33, verse 22. For the Lord is our judge, our lawgiver, and our king. He will care for us and save us. The enemy's sails hang loose on broken masts with useless tackle. Their treasure will be divided by the people of God. Even the lame will take their share. The people of Israel will no longer say, "Seek in heaven," for the Lord will forgive their sins. Praise God. Just praise Him. He's good. He's good. The enemy's broken. The enemy's defeated. Let's pray. Jesus, we just thank you that while the devil thought he had won, when your son was hung on the cross, when he was buried, he was breaking their mass. Every ship of war the enemy had, that he sailed in the spirit, it was broken and defeated on the cross and in the grave and in the empty tomb. It was defeated by the blood of your son. He has no power anymore. And now we raid the enemy's treasures. What was his is now ours. He thought he had authority. We walk in authority. He was a son. He gave that up. And now because of the blood of your son, Jesus, we've been made sons. We've been adopted by his blood. By your stripes, we are healed. We won't walk in sickness anymore. We won't walk in defeat anymore. We won't walk in death anymore. Nothing in this world can hold us. Because by your stripes, we are healed. We walk in fullness. We walk in freedom. Because your son walked out of the grave. He was the first fruit of the resurrection. Jesus, we just praise you and we thank you that your son came to set the captives free, that he came to heal, that he came to save, that he came to deliver. Jesus, we just give you all the glory in this room right now. I just pray, let your word be spoken. Let every man be a liar, but your word, your son, your Holy Spirit is true. And may it be the foundation of every step we take as we walk through this world. Jesus, we just praise you and thank you that you're coming in today. We're coming in expectant for what you're going to do, what you're already doing. You're healing. You're freeing. You're delivering. Jesus, you've already been doing it this past week. You've been working in our hearts. Even in the crushing, you've been bringing us comfort. Even in the hurt, even in the sorrow, you've been bringing us peace that doesn't make sense to this world. But that's who your son is. His peace brings ever-increasing peace, more and more. Jesus, we just praise you. I just sense that there's so much joy and peace that you want to bring in people's lives today. I've been feeling it all morning. As people have been arriving, as the worship team's been preparing, I've just felt this overwhelming sense of peace and joy. What felt tight and what felt difficult is going to feel easy as we walk out of here today. What felt like defeat, we're going to see it now. No, no, no. It's just the beginning of the devil's defeat. It was never meant for our defeat. We're going to walk out in victory today because you already bought and paid for the victory. Jesus, in your name we pray. And all God's people said. Oof. All right, you can sit down. Man, look at that verse again. If you want my notes, you can't have them today. I tried getting on. Our texting service wasn't working. You're just going to have to be quick today following along. Isaiah 33, verse 22. Look there again. For the Lord is our judge, our lawgiver, and our king. Don't forget the role that he plays in our life. There's so many times we just want to look at Jesus and we just want to say, Jesus, I just want you a savior. I want you as Savior. That's what I'm comfortable with. In fact, when we have baptisms here in our house, we ask people, do you believe Jesus is your Lord and Savior? Most people just skip right past the Lord part and they say, yeah, he's my Savior. I want that. And we don't always fully come to recognize what it means to make Jesus Lord of our life. But he is. Lord, judge, and lawgiver, our King. He will care for us and save us. The enemy's sails hang loose on broken masts. The enemy, he rides on ships. The masts are broken. They're not moving anymore. With useless tackle, their treasure will be divided by the people of God. What the enemy thought, when they thought they had victory and they were plundering the treasure of God's kingdom, where God had designed men to take dominion and subdue what he had created, and the enemy came in to steal, kill, and destroy. No. Now their treasure is being divided by the people of God. Even the lame will take their share. The lame will walk. The lame will be healed in the name of Jesus. The people of Israel will no longer say, we are sick and helpless. For by his stripes we are healed. For the Lord will forgive their sins. Don't forget who he is. Ephesians 4, verse 1. Ephesians 4, verse 1. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Who is God? He's Lord. He's lawgiver. He's judge. He's Savior. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. That's a word for somebody here today. Make every effort. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. If you don't feel peace with those that you're around, begin to make more of an effort. So sometimes we just think, oh, I don't even need to try now. I gave my life to Jesus. I can just kind of put it into cruise control because I've got grace. And I just got all this grace and I can just kind of do whatever I want. Grace, I saw this quote last week and I love it. And I've been sharing it with a lot of people this week. Grace is not opposed to effort, it's opposed to earning. You don't have to earn anything. It's already been bought and paid for. But grace is not opposed to effort. Effort just means we choose to say, oh yeah, he's more than just my Savior. No, he's my lawgiver, he's my judge, he's my King. And my King knows better for my life than what I've been trying to do on my own. Every plan I've tried to make on my own, out of my own power and my own understanding, it's not coming to fruition. It's not fruitful. It hasn't been good every time I try to do it on my own. But if I begin to make him King, lawgiver, judge in every area of my life, and I begin to walk in the precepts of what he's given me, if I let his word be a light upon my path, guess what he does? He lights the path. And all of a sudden, you can see where you should go and how you should walk and what you should do. Sometimes we get saved and we just think, oh, this is great. I can do whatever I want. I got more and more grace. Grace will abound, Paul said. No, don't do that. Because there's fruitfulness and there's blessing when you walk in his ways. If you've been here very long since we've been meeting in this spot, you may have noticed previously before this week, when you came to park here, it was really hard to see the lines where you should park, right? And some of you guys, you were just guessing out there. And like, I mean, you weren't even close, some of you. Me, I wasn't even close. I was just guessing. I was like, this might be a spot. But all of a sudden, what has he done? The spots are clear now. Where you should go is clear now. There's order, there's organization, there's a boundary, and there's a blessing in the boundary. God's word is a boundary, and there's a blessing in the boundary. There you go. Sermon title for today. Blessing in the boundary. There's a blessing in the boundary. Boundaries weren't meant to hold us back. They were meant for us to grow, to be fruitful, to bless us so we can go forward, so we can ascend, so we can become more than what we could be on our own, so we can walk in Christ because we have the mind of Christ within us. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians. You have the mind of Christ within you. And that's why we keep teaching. How do we learn to walk by the Spirit and not by our soul, our fleshly desires, our wants, our will, our emotions? We don't let them lead. No. We take everything, even the small decisions, and we ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do here? What are you saying? And then how do you learn to hear the Spirit more clearly? You read His Word. Because if it doesn't match up with His Word, then you know it's not from Him. But if you start to hear things bubbling up inside of you, and you think, well, I don't know if that's my own thought. Well, take it to God's Word and see. Does it align with His Word? Well, yeah. Yeah, he talks about this. He wants me to live in peace with others. And He's telling me I need to make peace with this relationship over here that I don't really want to make peace with. And guess what? I say this a lot. If it's something that you don't really want to do, but it keeps kind of bubbling up inside of you, yes, you're hearing God's voice. That's Him saying that to you. If it lines up with His Word and it's something that in your flesh and in your mind and in your emotions, maybe you don't want to do, you're not comfortable with it, you don't really desire that. But guess what? The Spirit knows better. The mind of Christ lives within you. Begin to trust His voice in your life. Begin to trust the boundaries He's laid out. There's a blessing in the boundary. There's a man in our church. His testimony is so amazing. He would tell you, he's lived outside of God's boundaries for most of his life. But within these last 3 years, as the church began, he just began to say, what did he do? He made an effort to say, I want to be in God's house. I want to get planted in God's house, and I want to learn what God wants for my life, because I keep trying to do it on my own, and my relationships and my friendships and my life, it's just not panning out the way I thought it would, and it just looks like a wreck. And I'm telling you, this year, in year three, he's seeing more fruit than I believe he ever thought was possible 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And he's seeing the blessing of staying planted in God's house, in God's Word, and walking in everything that God has for him. There's a blessing in the boundary. If you're a seed, which God describes us as a seed, and you keep jumping from soil to soil and never letting yourself get planted so that God can water you, God can nurture you, God can cultivate you, so that you can begin to grow and become fruitful. If you just keep bouncing from one boundary and out of another and into another, you're missing out on the blessing of staying planted where God has called you and where He wants to make you fruitful. Verse 4, Ephesians 4. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, He has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when He ascended to the heights, He led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to His people. Notice that it says He ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that He might fill the entire universe with Himself. To ascend, you have to first descend. Some of us, we just keep trying to ascend on our own and out of our own power. And what keeps happening? We just keep getting humbled. When we keep trying to do it out of our own power and our own strength and keep trying to lift ourselves up and raise up in this world and try to raise in our status out of our own power, our own plans, and our own desires, what happens? We keep getting humbled. What did Jesus say? He said, for those that come in and they sit at the table, this is one of His parables, those that come in and sit at the best seat, the highest seat at the table, in that culture, there were certain seats that were considered more honorable. If you come in and you sit at the most honorable seat, and you think, oh, I'm just going to ascend. This is where I belong. This is where I'm worthy of this. I'm so good. I'm so great. I'm so talented. Everybody is lucky to have me in the room right now. And guess what happens? Somebody comes in and says, actually, I already got that seat saved. And they move you down to the end of the table. You're sitting at the kids' table now at Thanksgiving. Like some of you, you're still there. Like you're an adult and you're like, I'm a grown man. I shouldn't be sitting here anymore with these toddlers. But they came in and they sat at the highest spot. And what happens? They get humbled. But if you'll just come in, if you'll sit at the lowest spot, if you'll serve and you will choose to descend, what does he do? He comes in and he says, no. Actually, I want to raise you up because you chose to be humble. You chose to walk as a servant. No, I'm going to raise you up because I'm raising you up right here in this spot. There's people in this house right now. You've chosen to serve in some of the lowest areas of our life. In some of the lowest areas that you think, man, I'm above this. I do this and this, and I shouldn't be serving. But you've chosen to serve, and guess what? God is raising you up because you chose to descend first. If you'll just choose to trust him, to humble yourself, to be a servant, and let him raise you up at the right time into the right place, trust him that he's going to do that. And some of you, there's so many of you in this house, like you're doing that. You're choosing to serve. You're choosing to, we talk about this a lot. Who were the very first people that saw the very first miracle of Jesus? It was at the wedding. And his mother told these servants at the wedding, do whatever my son tells you. And Jesus, he told these servants, go and get these huge things of water and carry them back because the wedding had run out of wine. And so they went and they carried the water. They weren't invited to the wedding. They weren't sitting at the best seat at the wedding. They were serving at the wedding. And so they go and they get these huge jugs of water and they bring them back to Jesus. And what does he do? He turns the water into wine. And not just any wine, it was the best wine. Who saw the very first miracle of Jesus? It was the servants. It was the servants. So you might feel like that right now. You might feel lowly. You might feel like, nobody sees me. Nobody knows what I'm doing. Nobody even cares. I don't matter. That's a lie from the devil. Don't forget. Always remember that question. Who told you that? Who told you you don't matter? Who told you what you're doing doesn't matter? Who told those servants that what they're doing doesn't matter? No. They were the first ones to see the first miracle of Jesus. Keep serving. And he's going to continue to raise you up. But don't skip the steps that he's telling you to be obedient in right here and right now. Because sometimes he gives us a vision and a picture of what's to come, and you're hungry for it, and you see, like, man, I want that for my life. But the hard thing is, when he gives you a vision or a picture, the other thing he's telling you is, yeah, you're at step one right now, and now I've shown you where step 10 is, but you have to trust me and walk by faith, not by sight, and listen to my voice as I give you step 2, and then step 3, and then step 4. You can't just skip from step 1 to step 10 because your heart's not ready for that. He's preparing you in this season. He's giving you a picture and a vision of what's to come, but you have to trust him that he's doing heart work in this season and preparing you so that when you get to step 10, it doesn't wreck you. It doesn't ruin you. It doesn't become more than you can handle, more than you can steward, more than you can take care of. He's preparing you and he's teaching you how to be a good steward of what he gives you at every area, every stop along the way. He's preparing and building your heart in that season. So continue to serve in whatever area he's called you into right now in this season and trust him that he's going to continue to move you along at the right time and into the right places. Because he's called you and he's prepared you. You're a gift for the kingdom. Some of you, you've already figured that out. You've already realized that. Like, you get to do this. Whatever your role is in the kingdom, you get to do it. Some of you, when you first start serving in kids ministry and you're like, oh, great, I have to do this. I got guilted into this. No, it's not about guilt. And some of you, you're starting to see that now. It's not about guilt. It's not about, oh, I have to do this. It's no, I get to do this. I get to pour in and teach God's word to this young group of believers that are learning and growing, and they're hungry. They're hungry to know him, to know what he's got for their lives, that he's a God that loves them and cares for them. And all of a sudden, your mind has shifted from, oh, I have to do this, to I get to do this. Let him change you and transform you in this season that you're in. Whatever season you're in, be thankful, because he's doing a great work. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected. If you've been feeling rejection in your life, just know, so did Jesus. He was rejected by his family. He was rejected by his closest friends. He was rejected by leaders in the community. He was rejected by those who said they loved him, who said, hey, we're going to follow you. We're with you. We're all in. He knows rejection. And so if you've been feeling that in your life, I just want to tell you, there's a spirit behind that. There's a spirit that wants you to believe that you're rejected and nobody wants you. Nobody wants to listen to you. Nobody even desires you to be around. That's a lie. Once again, if you feel that spirit of rejection welling up within you, that's not you. That's not the Holy Spirit. Who told you that? That's the devil. He's a liar. And so you say, no, I rebuke that. That's a lie from the enemy. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I'm not rejected. I'm loved. I'm not rejected. I'm accepted. Because of Jesus, I'm not only loved and accepted, I'm desired. The Father desired me enough to give up his Son. His Son desired me to be a part of the family, to be grafted in. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream, but he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave, but it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. He was crushed. Exodus 27, verse 20. This is when God is giving Moses plans and commands for the temple, for the tabernacle, where his people would worship. Command the people of Israel to bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light to keep the lamps burning continually. The lampstand will stand in the tabernacle in front of the inner curtain that shields the Ark of the Covenant. Aaron and his sons must keep the lamps burning in the Lord's presence all night. Don't let the fire go out. That was the job of the priests. Aaron and his sons, don't let the fire go out. This is a permanent law for the people of Israel, and it must be observed from generation to generation. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Spirit, the fire of God. Do not quench the Spirit. That word quench, it was used in reference to fire. Don't stifle the fire. Don't quench the fire. Don't let the fire go out. But now Christ is risen from the dead, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all should be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet. And when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. He's the first fruit. Go back to that Exodus 27 passage. Command the people of Israel to bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light to keep the lamps burning continually. When we see the Bible talking about oil, it's a shadow of the Holy Spirit. There's a connection between the oil and God's presence, his Spirit within us. Bring the pure oil of pressed olives for the light to keep the lamps burning continually. Don't let the fire go out. Think about the 10 virgins. There were 5 that carried extra oil so they could keep their lamps burning so they'd be ready when the bridegroom came back. And there were 5 that said, I don't need to carry any extra oil with me. That sounds inconvenient. That sounds hard. That sounds difficult. And what happened to their lamp? They kept waiting and waiting. Eventually their fire went out and they weren't ready. And they had to go and get extra oil. And they weren't ready when the bridegroom came back. They weren't ready when Jesus came back. Keep the fire burning. Keep seeking him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. There's a crushing that happens. But what happens when we're crushed? It produces oil. If you feel like you're getting crushed right now in this season, what is the crushing? What does the pressing do? It turns olives into oil. What does the oil do? It keeps the fire burning. If you feel like you're getting crushed right now, you just need to know. He's just making the fire brighter. He's making the fire brighter. So you're going to stand out in a dark world. You're going to stand out in a dark world. If you feel like you're getting crushed right now, let me tell you something. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't quit walking with him. Keep going in the direction he's calling you into. Keep walking in the beauty and the blessing of the boundary he's told you to walk in, because he's making the fire brighter. There's more oil that's being produced in this season of crushing. Man, he's the first fruit. He was the first to be crushed. Crushed for our iniquities. Crushed for our sin. That's what it said in Isaiah. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. The crushing took place. He descended to be crushed. But then what did God do? He raised him up. He ascended. Man. He became the first fruit. This hit me the other day while I was reading that Exodus passage. I was thinking about that. I just kept thinking, there's a connection here between Jesus being the first fruit and this passage all the way back here in Exodus of this pure oil of olives. And then it just kind of hit me. He's like, maybe you guys know this. I probably just gave it away. Is an olive a fruit or a vegetable? I always thought it was a vegetable, all right? I'm just going to be honest. Did anybody else just be honest, all right? Anybody else ever think that olives were a vegetable? Okay, thank you. There's some honest people in here. The rest of you, come on. Like, come on. You knew that? All right. They always put olives on a veggie tray. Okay, wow. Nobody's tracking with me. All right. Nobody's tracking on this one, but that was what hit me, and I had to Google it. Some of you are like, wow, that's embarrassing. I had to Google it, all right? I said, what are olives? Are they a fruit or a veggie? They're a fruit. I was like, that does not make sense. Fruit tastes kind of sugary and sweet, and I love it, and olives, I'm like, I don't want anything to do with olives. To me, olives, they're meant for oil, not for eating, all right? That's it. But man, he's the first fruit. He was the first to be crushed. And because he ascended, because he was raised up to be seated at the right hand of the Father, what happens? Why was it better that he left so who could come? The Holy Spirit, the helper, the guide, the teacher, the comforter. Because he left, the Holy Spirit has come. And we just invite him in. We invite him in every day, every week, and we just ask, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak and teach us your ways. Teach us to walk in your paths, the paths of righteousness that you designed us to walk in from long ago when you first created the world. Lord, we want to walk in your path and not the world's path. He sent the oil, and the oil, it just keeps flowing. And there's more and more oil that we can carry with us. Just keep picking up the oil and carrying it with you every day, every moment. There's a blessing when you walk. Even in the crushing, you know what's happening right now. Oh, he's just producing more oil. He's just making more room in this season. When I'm getting crushed, it doesn't matter what's going on. I just know I have faith and I believe that there's just more oil. There's more room for his presence to come and dwell within me that I can walk through faith through whatever I'm going through. And it's going to burn brighter in this world. Worship team, I'll just invite you up as we get ready, as we come here down near the end. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 29. Otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead do not rise at all, why then are they baptized for the dead? And why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, Paul says he fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me if the dead do not rise? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Be aware of who you hang around. Be aware. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness. Surround yourself with men and women that are walking and carrying the oil. Surround yourselves with men and women that desire to not just carry the bare minimum, but desire to seek after him with everything and carry as much of his presence as they can every day. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Exodus 23, verse 29. I shared this last week. I just felt led to share it again. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. This is a picture. This is a shadow. Jesus is driving out demons from your life. And he's doing it one stronghold at a time, one beast at a time. And they flee at the name of Jesus. Hebrews 4, verses 11 through 13. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what the word of God does. It pierces us and it exposes the darkness in every crack, in every crevice, in every place that we didn't even realize something could be hiding. In verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight. There are creatures, there are demons that want to dwell within us. The Bible says this, that the demons are looking for a foothold so that they can build a stronghold. They want to dwell within us. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. When you begin to read God's word, it reads you. It exposes what's going on within you. And there's no creature that can hide from the light of God's word. And it exposes things that have had a foothold or a stronghold in your life. Some of you today, you feel that today. You feel convicted. You feel the Holy Spirit exposing something. You feel the Holy Spirit highlighting something to you that you've been struggling with, that's been a stronghold in your life, and you've just thought, I'm never going to get past this. He wants to give you victory over it. He wants to free you from what you've been dealing with. And some of you, this is a word for somebody in our church today. Some of you, you've been exposed to migraines in your life and nausea and this sickness. And it was a word God gave me for somebody else earlier this week, but I just believe there's somebody else in this room that needs to hear this. There's a demonic connection to what you've been going through. And Jesus bought and paid for your healing, and you don't have to go through those migraines anymore. You don't have to experience that anymore. He wants to set you free. Because I just heard of a testimony of somebody this week in our church, in our house, that they thought, oh, I just have to deal with migraines my whole life. But as they've been walking through freedom and looking at God's word and what it actually says about getting free and delivered from demonic oppression, the migraines have began to leave. And the migraines, they don't have power or hold on their life anymore. I just want to encourage you today. You don't have to live with it anymore. Whatever you thought, no, this is just part of life. This is what I have to deal with. No. Jesus bought and paid for it. By his stripes, you're healed. Let his word expose the darkness and every creature that does not belong to live within you, because Jesus has evicted them. By his blood, they've been evicted, and they have to leave in the name of Jesus. And so we just command them to leave right now in this place. They don't have permission anymore. There's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Genesis 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Let them have dominion over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Ladies, don't forget that. You're called to walk in authority. You're called to walk in dominion. There's no junior Holy Spirit. Male and female, we're called to walk in dominion and subdue the earth. He has raised you up to walk in authority. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. That includes these creepy, crawly creatures, these demons from the pit of hell. That includes them. You walk in authority and you take dominion over them by the blood and the name of Jesus Christ. You've been set free. You've been healed. You've been delivered by his name. Praise God. Oof. He's good. He's so good. Isaiah 33. No, Isaiah 32. I don't even need my iPad anymore. There we go. Get out of here. He hit me with this one while we were worshiping. In my mind, I kept looking for another verse, but he just kept bringing up this one, and I was like, that's not what I was looking for. He said, this is exactly what I want you for. I want you to read today. Isaiah 32, verse 1. Look, a righteous king is coming, and honest princes will rule under him. Each one will be like a shelter from the wind and a refuge from the storm, like streams of water in the desert and the shadow of a great rock in parched land. Would you stand up as we read this and we close and we get ready to worship? Then everyone who has eyes will be able to see the truth. Lord Jesus, please give us eyes in this house. And everyone who has ears will be able to hear it. Lord Jesus, please give us ears to hear it. Even the hotheads will be full of sense and understanding. Those who stammer will speak out plainly. In that day, ungodly fools will not be heroes. Scoundrels will not be respected. For fools speak foolishness and make evil plans. They practice ungodliness and spread false teachings about the Lord. They deprive the hungry of food and give no water to the thirsty. This is a house where we won't deprive the hungry of food. We won't deprive the thirsty of living waters. We're going to speak and declare about His truth and what He's done. We won't hide it. We won't walk in shame. No, no, no. We're going to declare it to the mountaintops and to every person. This is going to be a house where people come and they find answers to problems that doctors said we don't have any answers. They're going to find healing where doctors said we don't have healing. We can't give you anything. We can just help you medicate. No, no, no. We're not looking for medication. We're looking for full freedom and full healing. Because that's what He promised. That's what He did for us. Man. My dad is my dad's in a hospital right now in Colorado. And the doctors have told him he needs quadruple bypass surgery this week. And I'm praying and I'm believing. Now, I'm just going to drive out there tomorrow by faith. I'm going to lay hands on him. I'm going to do what his word says in James. And I'm going to anoint his head with oil. And I'm just going to pray and declare and believe for full healing. That the lawgiver, the judge, the king, that he's going to bring the healing. That he's going to clear everything that doesn't belong. Because by his stripes, because he grew up in a house, in a church, where there was no bread and there was no water. We knew about Jesus. We knew he was Savior, but that was all we knew. We didn't know that he had come to give life abundantly. We're going to declare that in this house, that there's bread for the hungry, there's healing for the hungry, there's water for the thirsty. His Holy Spirit is a never-ending well. It never dries up. It's a river that keeps on flowing. And there's more and more of Him to experience. I'm just praying for open eyes and open ears in this house, in Colorado, in every house in this country, in this continent, in this world, that God begins to show us and teach us again through His house, through His church, that there's bread to be had. There's water to drink. Verse 7, the smooth tricks of scoundrels are evil. They plot crooked schemes. They lie to convict the poor, even when the cause of the poor is just. But generous people plan to do what is generous, and they stand firm in their generosity. Listen, you women who lie around in ease. Listen to me, you who are smug. In a short time, just a little more than a year, you careless ones will suddenly begin to care. If you felt apathetic, if you felt like, man, I just don't have a care, I don't care about anything, just invite Jesus in. Just say, Lord, I want to care again. I want to care again to what you have for me, what you designed me for. I want to walk in everything you created me for. You're going to suddenly care again today. For your fruit crops will fail and the harvest will never take place. Tremble, you women of ease. Throw off your complacency. Strip off your pretty clothes and put on burlap to show your grief. Beat your breasts in sorrow for your bountiful farms and your fruitful grapevines. For your land will be overgrown with thorns and briars. Your joyful homes and happy towns will be gone. The palace and the city will be deserted and busy towns will be empty. Wild donkeys will frolic and flocks will graze in the empty forts and watchtowers until at last the Spirit is poured out on us from heaven. He's been poured out. If you want that today, you just put your hands out today when we pray and you say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Please pour out on my life. then the wilderness will become a fertile field. And the fertile field will yield bountiful crops. Justice will rule in the wilderness and righteousness in the fertile field. And this righteousness will bring peace. Yes, it will bring quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in safety, quietly at home. They will be at rest, even if the forest should be destroyed and the city torn down. The Lord will greatly bless His people. Wherever they plant seed, bountiful crops will spring up. Their cattle and donkeys will graze freely. And that's a promise still for you today. Even when there's desolation, even when there's destruction, even when there's crushing in the world, His people, as we continue to walk with Him, there's a blessing in walking by His voice in the Spirit. Let's pray. Jesus, we just thank You. We thank You that You're here, that You live, that You dwell within us. Holy Spirit, I just pray that You would come right now. If you want the Holy Spirit, just ask Him. Just put your hands out in front of you, like you're just waiting to, that you just want to receive a gift. And just say, please, Holy Spirit, just come. I want more of You. I want to carry more oil. I want to carry the extra oil. I want to carry as much oil as I can. I want more of You, Jesus. Just tell Him that. Declare that today in your life. If you've been feeling like you don't care, if you've been feeling apathetic, just say, Jesus, I want to care again. I want to care about the things You care about. I want to love the things You love, and I want to hate the things You hate. And I want to walk in the boundaries that You've created, because there's beauty and blessing in the boundaries. There's a harvest in the boundaries. You created a garden, and there's fruit. There's no more thorns and thistles. Thorns and thistles are being healed. All the places where You've been bit, where You've been hurt in life, Jesus is coming in and He's healing them and He's doing a work within you. You're forgiving right now. If there's somebody you need to forgive, if there's a person that you just need to let go of and you just need to forgive, do that right now. Just say, Jesus, I forgive them and I pray a blessing over them. I pray a blessing over their life. And the thorns and thistles begin to disappear. And a shoot comes out of the ground. The shoot of Jesse, the shoot of David. It's Jesus, and He has more room to grow within you. The mind of Christ has more room to grow and take hold within you. Holy Spirit, come. We just bow. We just declare Your goodness. You're great. You're merciful. You're wonderful. You're lawgiver. You're judge. You're Savior. You're King. We just declare that over our lives in this place. Jesus, come, please. Do a work within us. Bring healing in this place. Jesus, I just pray. If there's a step of faith that anyone needs to take today, that they would just take it, that they would walk in obedience, that they would hear the still, small whisper of Your voice, and that they would just take that small step forward and say, yes, Lord. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Some of you, just pray that prayer. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, we just want to worship You right now. We just want to declare Your goodness, Your mercy, Your grace, that You're King over all, that the wild beasts flee at Your name. Every creature, every creeping thing that does not belong, it has no more authority in our hearts, in our minds. No, no, no. We cast down those strongholds. We take those thoughts captive in the name of Your Son, Jesus. We thank You, Jesus, that You descended so that we can have a way to the Father through Your blood, through what You did on the cross. Jesus, just please come in this place right now. Let there be healing. That's the children's bread, healing and deliverance. Let this be a place where we just eat bread and we drink of the water of Your flowing Spirit. Jesus, if there's anyone in here today that needs prayer, that just needs somebody to speak life or prophesy over them, let them have the confidence and boldness to step forward to somebody on our ministry team today, to find somebody and just ask, would you just pray for me? I want freedom in this area, and I just believe this is the next step I need to take. Jesus, let there be freedom in this house today. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.